Support for Connecticut East this week comes from Southeastern Connecticut Enterprise Region is the region's federally designated economic development organization, providing services and resources to the region's businesses and municipalities. Find out more at sector, that's SECTER.org. Service Master by Mason are experts at eliminating harmful mold and mildew from your home or business. Don't let mold damage your property and cause health concerns. Call 860-455-1249. Thames at Mitchell College, a holistic on-campus program that helps high school graduates prepare for college through personal transformation. Go to mitchell.edu/Thames to learn more. And Day Kimball Health, nationally recognized by LeapFrog, Becker's, and the American Heart Association. Day Kimball Health, healthcare in motion. Learn more at daykimball.org. Traditional shopping is making way for immersive experiences, but what does that actually mean? We talk to a female entrepreneur who has 4 immersive stores to find out the secret to her success. Plus, we take a look at other stories making the headlines from around the region. This is Connecticut East This Week. Hello, I'm Brian Scott-Smith. You only have to look around to see how traditional shopping is dying and our need for something new and different is taking its place. It's called an immersive shopping experience, and in some countries it is taking off faster than others. Of course, we can get a sense of immersive shopping by doing it online with various retailers, but the brick-and-mortar stores of old are fighting back and looking to get us away from our screens and through their doors to reacquaint ourselves with the in-person shopping experience, but with a twist. I caught up with Ellie Greenberg, founder of a company called Wonderlocity, that for the past few years has been creating immersive shopping stores and experiences at the old Mystic Village in Mystic. I went down to see what it's all about and spoke with Ellie and 2 of her team who make the magic happen. Wonderlocity is your company, and you've created these immersive experiences. Just give us a quick sense, who is Ellie Greenberg and where did you come up with these ideas?
Thank you for coming and to the stores today. So I am the founder and CEO of Wonderlocity. Wonderlocity is a company that is focused on immersive retailing. My belief is that retailing is evolving and the old-fashioned retail stores are slowly fading away from this world. And in order to have people enjoy shopping, I created this immersive retailing places that are all themed after different characters, fictional characters, and all of this is really creating an immersive experience when you're coming and doing the shopping and not just coming and looking for a product. And the way I think that is better describing it, it's Disney Park gift shop without the Disney Park. So you still get the experience by shopping and enjoying the environment, but you don't really necessarily have an extra attraction to it. And that's something that I wanted to create because I felt that there is a niche in the way that people are looking to do something, if it's just on the weekend or if just something to do with their kids or their family. Going to restaurants become like the top place to go and immerse yourself in something. But why not doing that while you also shop with something that you're passionate about? And that is kind of like my philosophy behind it.
Let's talk to 2 other members of the team. Samantha, explain to us, you know, your role in all of this and what do you think of this?
Sure. So I'm the director of retail operations for all of our locations. We currently have 5 and we're opening a 6th store, a second Arisu. You know, my thoughts is that, you know, I've been in retail for the last 17 years and I think this is so different. And I think as we are evolving as a culture and what we're looking for in retail, it's something completely different than what we've seen in the past. And I think there's countries like Japan where we're getting a lot of our inspiration from who do this and do it really well. And that's what we've kind of brought here to Arisu specifically, but it's kind of been our foundation for all of our stores. And that's why Arisu has kind of like brought us to the next level in that sense.
Let's move over to Honey. What's your role in all of this?
I am the operations and event specialist. I specialize in securing talent for the stores. We bring in a lot of voice actors who are the voices behind many different anime characters that we do. And, you know, what really stands out for Arisu is sort of the, I always kind of say that anime is a bit of a risk because it's this niche thing that a lot of people don't understand, but the fan base behind it is so passionate. And where there is a will, there is a way. Anime fans will travel insane distances to support something that they love and they want. And Ellie being able to make this community and this location for passionate people, whether it's anime or cosplay or manga, you know, they finally have a place that they can go and experience those things. And it's really great to see how dedicated those fans are.
Let's get back to Ellie, because we just want to quickly get you to explain for us. As we say, we're in Arisu, which is one of the four stores. It is Japanese themed, and Honey just gave us a quick idea of it. But just explain to us, you know, as we stand here, I mean, it's immersive itself because we're surrounded by these gorgeous models, sculptures, whatever you want to call them. But we've also got food in here as well.
Yes. So the question is, what is your definition of immersive? And my definition of immersive is when you go into one of our stores, and we're right now in Arisu, it's what you see and what you feel. All of your senses are engaged in that experience. And I got the inspiration for Arisu, which is a Japanese pulp culture store. I got it from the streets of Tokyo. And I wanted to bring that feel. I wanted to bring visually. I wanted to bring the merchandise. I wanted to immerse people in that experience. So they don't have to go to Tokyo. They can come to Arisu instead. And when I'm saying immersive, again, you go in and you see the beautiful mural that says Arisu. You see all of the statues. And then the products, the amount of products that you have, which we have thousands of different products. But then you also have the interactive elements, which we have, for example, the gashapon machines, which are the Japanese capsule machines, which you find them everywhere in Japan. You won't find them in this part of the country very much, but you know, we have them, that we brought them from Japan. We have a retro arcade games, which are free, you know, that are reflective of like the 1980s Japanese arcade games. And then we have the market. We have the Japanese market. You know, whoever traveled in Japan know that the Japanese market, especially the 7-Eleven, it's like an institution. It's not like in the United States. And I wanted to bring that little taste of Japan here. So when you go into the store, you really feel like you're being transported to the streets of Tokyo.
And also, looking at the staff or talent, I'm not quite sure what words we should use, but they're dressed up in uniforms as well. So, I mean, it just completes the entire picture, which we'll get to Honey to that, because, I mean, you were talking about the talent. So is this part of your remit?
Well, the staff themselves, they are dressed after the character of Luffy from One Piece. One Piece is one of the most popular anime and manga series in Japan, and Luffy himself is a very iconic character. His character actually just premiered in the Macy's Day Parade for the very first time last November, and it's really cool to be able to walk in and see these staff members dressed as, like, this comforting, familiar character. It instantly, like, makes you know, like, oh, I stepped into the right place.
And what do customers say? I mean, you know, we're surrounded, as we're talking here, the three of us, I mean, it's buzzing in here, which is great. So what are they saying to you? They obviously like it.
Oh, I mean, they love it. And I think what really, like, resonates with our customers is that they can't really get this anywhere else in a brick and mortar store, right? You can order these things on Amazon, you can order these things on online, but to be able to feel it, touch it, experience it in the store, you know, the amount of money or, you know, the difference in price is not going to be, doesn't matter to them, because what they're going to be able to do is look at it, feel it, touch it, understand the quality and the things that we've brought in the store. And again, a lot of these things are imported from Japan, so these aren't always readily available in the United States. You know, we bring a mixture of things, like, for example, the Kit Kats that we bring in from Japan. Those are wildly hard to find. And so, yes, you can get a Kit Kat that's American, but it's so much better if it's a Japanese Kit Kat, right? So, you know, just the amount of things that we bring in the store that you can't also get in the United States is, you know, exponential, and things that, you know, can't find.
So we've now stepped through the door into a completely different thing. We're in, it's called Alice in the Village?
Yes.
Explain to the listeners, because it truly is Alice in Wonderland encapsulated into a store and then some.
So Alice in the Village was the first store that I opened about 7.5 years ago. And it is designed after Alice in Wonderland, the story of Alice in Wonderland. So the first thing that you see when you go in is you see Alice's leg coming off the ceiling. You can't go wrong. You know it's Alice. And then you see the beautiful macarons that we have, all the colorful beautiful treats and you smell the teas that we have and you see all the flowers and the decor, and it immediately gives you the feel that you stepped into Wonderland. It makes you happy. And that's exactly kind of like the feeling that I wanted to do. I wanted people to come in here, experience that happy story while enjoying good tea, good treats, and remember what they felt like when they read Alice in Wonderland.
Samantha, as we stand here, just taking in the smells, yeah. I'm getting hungry as I stare, dear, and looking at these fabulous, as say, macaroons and things. Again, what are customers saying to you about this? Because I can honestly say, I don't think I've ever stepped into anything like this in my life. And it is truly mesmerizing.
It sure is. And I think the thing that resonates the most here is that people love the combination of the food and drink. Yes, we sell retail. It's a small percentage of our business. They're able to get these little treats, and this isn't something that every store in the village or even like the surrounding areas have. They don't have bubble tea. It's a specialty drink. We offer a huge variety of offerings in our drink menu, but then also the desserts. We get specially made macarons. We get desserts that we also elevate by using different like props and, you know, eat me signs and reusable teacups that they're able to bring home. So we really create that experience, and it kind of elevates, you know, what you're seeing and feeling when you walk in, and then, you know, you get this elevated experience with the food and drink as well.
Was it one of your favorites as a young lady?
Absolutely, and still is. I think that, kind of like an interesting trivia, Alice in Wonderland is the second most popular book after the Bible. So there is not a person, I think, that you will mention Alice in Wonderland and won't know what you're talking about. And they might have not read the book, but they know the characters. They know what it's about. They know that it will make you happy. And that is kind of what I wanted to accomplish.
And of course, I guess it doesn't hurt that whenever there's reboots of things like Alice in Wonderland as well, that just must really open the floodgates for people to come in even more.
Exactly. And we see that in all of the stores too. And we see that when there's a new anime coming out, a new Alice coming out, something in the Harry Potter, Dungeons and Dragons, Lord of the Rings. We see that in all of our locations.
So I started off as a retail associate in Arisu, and I was so thrilled to be a part of opening the store and just being a part of something that I grew up so passionate about, and being able to work behind the scenes and help expand such an amazing company is something that I definitely don't take for granted.
Alice's Little Haunted Bookshop. I love the window display, lots of paper like it's flying and beings of ghosts throwing it around. What inspired you for this one?
After the success of Alice in the Village, I wanted to continue tell the story, but in a bit of a different angle. I wanted to tell the story of the real Alice. The real Alice and her creator, Lewis Carroll, who are both from the Victorian era of England. And, the Victorian era in England was not a happy pink era. It was pretty much dark and depressing. And I wanted to create those two very different realities right next to each other so you can experience both. And if you will see later on, there is a looking glass that connects between the two. So you're able to connect reality with the fantasy and vice versa. And that's kind of like a connection that I felt it's so different, but also so together. And I loved it. And as much as I love Alice in Wonderland, makes me happy. I'm also a huge fan of gothic and horror and dark. And I don't think it's a problem to love both. And as you can see, that's what I've tried to combine between the two.
You can't have one without the other. And if you think about fairy tales, I mean, they're scary, aren't they, sort of thing. Let's go through the door, because we've just seen a lady come out looking very happy. So let's see what it's all about. I'll follow you in. So Samantha, immediately as we walk in, admittedly I've got glasses which are tinted, so it's probably not quite as dark as I think it is, but mood lighting, I mean, again, it's immersive the moment you walk in. I feel like I've walked into an old house and it's library sort of thing. We've got video screens going off here with amazing visuals, and we've again got statues. Just talk to us a little bit about this, because again, as bookshops go, this again, it's amazing. I've not seen anything like this.
Yeah, and I think think our products speak to that too, right? These are not bestsellers. You're not going to find these easily on the bookshelves in Barnes & Noble, and that's what we wanted. We wanted these books that are different and classics, but then also banned books and horror and old comic books and true crime books. And that's what we've kind of created here. And it's been something that's been wildly popular. And even for young adult and children's, we also carry those books too. But those are not books also that you're going to find on the shelves easily. So that's what we kind of created with the whole vibe. And that's what we also brought in our product offering.
You know, I know it's hard to believe based on how I'm dressed, but I'm also very much like Ellie in that I love the macabre. I love dark stories. I love things that, you know, push the envelope and are different. And keeping the love for literature and writing alive is so important. And if we can get people interested in reading old literature, banned books, that is something that is so particularly important to me. And I think we're doing a very good job at that.
I'm guessing this one is probably particularly sort of like a favorite during Halloween.
Oh, absolutely. Definitely.
What type of things do you generally tend to do like for Halloween here? Because it's just an ideal situation.
To be honest with you, just the story itself is a draw. There is a pilgrimage that goes every year of people that are going to Salem, okay, for Halloween. It goes like through the month of October. And we're very lucky now that we're right on the map now on their way to Salem. And we just got bombarded last October.
So Ellie, we are approaching the final store on our tour. It is the Cloak and Wand. We're actually having to wait outside because it's incredibly busy as a load of people actually come out, which is good. Obviously good business. Let's work our way into here. Again, as we walk through the door, wow, this is again amazing. It's just very oldie world. I feel like I've actually stepped back into Victorian times. I mean, again, the look and feel of this. Explain this store to us and why you wanted to do this particular one, because this is also like witches and wizards and folklore.
So I think the most important thing to realize that I am a huge geek and I'm proud of it. I love all of these themes. I love the fantasy, the sci-fi. I love horror and goth. I love Disney princesses and I love anime. I like Star Wars too. So I really am a huge fan of those specific genres. And my favorite character, I love Lord of the Rings. I love Dungeons and Dragons and I love Harry Potter. And I wanted to create this store to reflect those amazing characters, amazing books, and what is a better way than to create an immersive retail store that feature all of them. But it's not just that. We also took it one step forward and also added a custom potion bar, which you can create your own custom potions that again immerse you into that environment. So it's not just that you're going to find Harry Potter products or Dungeons and Dragons or Lord of the Rings, you also immerse in it by creating your own drink and drink it.
That's quite cool, actually. We might have to try that. Yes. I'm sure there's probably no alcohol in there because we're recording.
Unfortunately not.
I thought so. Samantha, just talk us through again this particular store here. I mean, what sort of reactions do you get from people? Because this one really, I'm not saying the other ones don't transcend a lot of age groups, but this one probably out of all of them transcends probably the biggest age group, I would have thought. Because as Ellie was saying, I mean, it can be witches and wizards from any era. And I mean, you know, as we're walking over, I was talking about Merlin, and obviously that's a very English old character sort of thing. But Ellie's talking about obviously some more modern ones that we see in the movies. So just talk to us about, you know, the sorts of people that come in here.
Yeah, I mean, every age group, right? I mean, you see everybody from little kids who love the wands and the cloaks, but then you have the adults who grew up on Harry Potter, you know, the young adults, I would say, that grew up on Harry Potter or now watch them with their kids and love it. And then Lord of the Rings. I mean, Lord of the Rings has been around for forever as a book, and people who love books and fantasy, I mean, that was the kind of entryway into fantasy. And so I think that's what this store is really about. It's about fantasy and magical and creatures and, you know, things from, you know, every walk and era of your imagination. And I think that's what kind of like this store encompasses. And I think people love to feel the experience of walking in and seeing all of these popular and exciting themes, but then also getting the immersiveness in the drinks and getting a custom potion, but then getting the spell well, in which, you know, when you drink it, this is going to happen. Same thing with the wands, and just the experience overall, I think, is what draws the majority of the people in.
Clearly, you know, what you've done here over the years has helped to rejuvenate, and probably in a way has also created some other immersive-ish select types of stores.
Arisu is the most modern one looking, I mean, modern looking and also modern feeling, meaning is that the immersiveness of the store is mostly coming from the products and some of the games that are in the store. And that feeling and that look can be duplicated in almost every area. Other stores, because of the uniqueness and the decor, it really needs to be a very specific location that will reflect the theme. That's my gut feeling.
Ellie, Samantha, and Honey, thanks ever so much for being on the podcast. And it's been an absolute pleasure. I think I better go and do some shopping now, haven't I?
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure having you here today.
Thank you so much. It's been great.
Thank you so much.
And if you're interested in trying out Ellie's four stores at the Old Mystic Village, then swing by there and take a peek inside Arisu, Alice in the Village, Alice's Haunted Bookshop, and The Cloak and Wand, and get that immersive experience for yourself. Connecticut East This Week is made possible by Southeastern Connecticut Enterprise Region. We're the region's federally designated economic development organization, providing businesses and municipalities with services and resources to make Southeastern Connecticut stronger and more vibrant. From small business financing to regional economic development strategy to business advising and support to government procurement assistance, we can help you grow. Find out more at sector, that's SECTER.org. Thames at Mitchell College, a college transition program on Mitchell's waterfront campus in New London. Mitchell offers a culture of radical possibilities where students with learning or processing differences can thrive, easing into college with supportive faculty and a strong social network. Within this tight-knit living and learning community, Thames students build executive functioning skills, earn college credit, learn strategies for independence, and experience transformative growth. Learn more at Mitchell.edu.
When your home or business is damaged by fire, water, or mold, you just want things to go back to normal fast. That's why ServiceMaster by Mason is available 24/7. Their certified technicians have been restoring homes and businesses from disasters or even helping with specialty cleaning needs for over 30 years. You can rely on ServiceMaster by Mason for everything from fire, smoke, and water damage to mold or a lingering odor. Call today at 860-455-1249 or visit servicemasterbymason.com.
It's time for the quiet corner to make some noise. Some Day Kimball Health noise. Largest employer in our region kind of noise. Day Kimball Health serves more than 125,000 people. Offers cardiology, orthopedics, and oncology specialties. It's having the region's only comprehensive and accredited breast center kind of noise. We're nationally recognized by LeapFrog, Becker's, and the American Heart Association. Day Kimball Health. Healthcare in motion.
Time now for a look at other stories making the headlines this week. U.S. Senator for Connecticut Richard Blumenthal applauded the Biden administration's new rules recently under the Inflation Reduction Act, giving a tax incentive to new offshore wind development across the country. The tax credits come at a time when the industry is struggling in the U.S. due to soaring costs tied to inflation, higher interest rates, and supply chain issues. Blumenthal said the new subsidies will help make a difference.
This tax credit has been a long time coming. It's overdue. We pushed for it as a delegation. It's in federal law, and the regulation enables it to go forward. And we need to make sure that ports like New London are fully eligible for it.
The tax credit can be worth up to 40% for a wind developer if they site their facility in an area that has historically relied on fossil fuel for employment. Port cities like New Haven, Bridgeport, and New London could all become energy communities under the new rules, which would make them attractive as sites for offshore wind developers. Katie Dykes is the commissioner for the Connecticut Department of Energy and Environmental Protection, or DEEP, and said the new tax credit is timely as Connecticut is seeking new offshore wind contracts with its partner states of Rhode Island and Massachusetts.
Bids are due in a historic RFP that Connecticut is undertaking together with our sister states in Rhode Island and Massachusetts. We're out shopping for up to 6,800 megawatts across the three states of offshore wind, and those bids will be coming in. And now we can be assured that the bidders' offers will be able to have the clarity that their projects can qualify for this energy community's tax credit.
The Tri-State Coalition recently received four new bids from four different developers and said they will be reviewing those bids over the next few months before making a decision on who will get the next big offshore wind project for the region. The former American Legion Hall in the city of New London is taking on a new role and life helping the city's wider community. The groundbreaking project has been spearheaded by member organizations of the Health Improvement Collaboration of Southeastern Connecticut and is called The Place for Community Wellbeing. Jen Maggio is the director of Ledgelight Health District, one of the collaborators, and explained why they decided to create The Place.
It is hard to access resources offered by multiple organizations, multiple services, when they're in different places, and maybe you're working two jobs and you have a small window of opportunity to go someplace. Maybe you live in this neighborhood and you don't have reliable transportation, or you need to bring the kids along, and that's perfectly fine. So we wanted to make it easier for people to access those resources that do exist.
Maggio said they were able to fund the project and bring it to life because of the collaborative approach between multiple local agencies.
We have existing grant resources that are paying for the rent right now. The staff, the community health workers, the public health nursing team, they're already funded. It's just a matter of thinking about where they offer their services in a way that is more accessible to the community. And then we will be pursuing additional grant funding for some of the larger projects that we want to do here in terms of rebuilding the kitchen so we can have cooking classes.
The place is still being updated, but currently holds a weekly walk-in food pantry on Wednesdays, and Maggio said they intend to offer vaccinations and other simple medical services in the future, as well as a bodega-style grocery store. A new London Police Department's new youth cadets have been out and about on official duty. They recently handed out hundreds of Easter baskets and food items to the local community at the St. James Episcopal Church in downtown New London. Denise Cabana is the priest at the church and said it's great to have them helping out.
I think it's amazing. I mean, anytime we can get young people involved in the community is just incredible. I think young people get such a bad rap these days in so many ways, and to get young people interested in giving back and getting involved and understanding the complexities of society these days, of people that struggle to make ends meet and how you can make a difference, is just really important.
The youth cadet program is new to the area, but many other police departments across the state have their own version. Officer Christine Nacito from New London PD explained why they decided it was time to start theirs.
So we wanted to partner with New London High School, offering a cadet program like there's like ROTC, you know, something similar. So our students are New London High School students, freshman to senior. We actually have one senior who'll be graduating this year. And we just wanted to open their eyes to law enforcement. You know, some of them have the interest to be in law enforcement or FBI, or not quite sure either way, and just wanted to get a glimpse into how it all works out and the process.
The cadets' first official outing was for the recent New London St. Patrick's Day parade, and 16-year-old youth cadet Madison Williams from New London said it was a first for her in many ways.
I've never been in like a parade before, so that was very interesting to like experience. And I was paired up with Chief. It was funny, you know, we were blocking off, you know, where the cars couldn't go. He likes to talk about a lot of things, so you know, he was talking to us about certain stuff and like telling us where to tell the cars to go, so it was all pretty fun.
The team of cadets is made up of 9 members, 8 of them female, and they train every Wednesday at the New London Police Department, learning all aspects of local law enforcement. The hope is that when they come to graduate, they might join the New London Police Department. That's all from us for this edition. Do send us your questions and story ideas to the show via our website at connecticut-east.com, or Facebook or Twitter at Connecticut East, and on Instagram at Connecticut East This Week. And you can listen to the show again on our social platforms, on demand, and by asking your smart speaker to play Connecticut East This Week podcast. And please like, follow, and share on your social media too. I'm Brian Scott-Smith. Thank you for listening.